rifling through those long boxes.
It's gotta be here. Aha! Here it is!
And bagging those books.
I'm out of bags and boards again.
Welcome to your home for Star Wars comics.
The Cosmic Force Podcast.
A Youtini Podcast Network production.
And now, here are your hosts, Parker Kirk, Caleb Laminek, and Jacob Bosch.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Cosmic Force. My name is Caleb, and today we will be talking about Mace Windu, issue number 2. So, as you might have heard, Jacob is actually not here on this issue. He is taking a much-deserved break, a spring break, I believe. Hopefully the last one he'll get. So it's just me and the ever-present Oz. Oz, how are you doing today?
Hello, I'm doing great. I miss spring breaks. They don't really prepare you for that as a kid, that this is a thing that will only last for the first, like, 18 to 22 years of your life, and then it just goes away forever. I guess unless you decide to go back to school, but I have no desire to do that unless it means getting spring breaks and summer breaks back. But I feel like now that I'm adult, that wouldn't play out, you know?
Exactly. It's like, you know, we can take vacation time right now as adults, but it's, I don't know. It feels like when I take vacation, I have to have a good reason and also, like, maximize the amount of fun I have on it, you know?
Yeah, and used to, like, it's spring break, and you would have someone else, a.k.a. your parents, plan your trip for you and, more importantly, pay for it. And now that all falls on me. So I'm working on a way to figure out how to get that back, but Jacob, enjoy it while it lasts.
Absolutely. So, and everyone else, welcome to the Cosmic Force, your weekly Star Wars comics podcast from the Youtini Podcast Network. Released Wednesdays on all your favorite podcast platforms. So be sure to follow and leave a review. And thanks again for everyone for tuning in. If you wanted to support this show, you can head over to the patreon.com/Youtini, where for just as little as $5 a month, you can gain exclusive access to the entire Youtini Podcast Network of shows. So let's go ahead and kind of jump into this here. So, I see some notes here. So, Oz, what have you been reading this week?
So as I've talked about for however long now, I have not finished Dune, because I'm still working on Defy the Storm, which is off to a solid start. I'm only like a quarter of the way through it because I've been sort of busy. And then on the comic side of things, it's time for me to mention Ultimate Comics. I believe last week we talked about how X-Men had come out, and I'm still kind of recovering from how cool Peach Momoko is. And then Ultimate Black Panther 2 came out yesterday, which actually I'm not feeling as much yet. I don't know. It hasn't jumped out at me the way Spider-Man and X-Men did.
Like, but how many Ultimate runs are they doing, or new Ultimate
right
runs?
Now, 4. There's 3 that have come out, and I don't know if they've officially announced there's going to be an Ultimates book, but it basically has been confirmed. So it'll be Spider-Man, X-Men, Black Panther, and Ultimates. So it's like kind of weird to me that Black Panther got his own book, because he never had one in the old Ultimate Universe. And it was just sort of the classic X-Men, Avengers, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man. Those are sort of like the big 4. But this time they're going a little different with it. So I'm here for it. I'm a simp for the brand. I will stick around just like I do for Star Wars. And so far I'm liking it. But that's been my reading. What about you?
I don't know. I actually haven't been doing too much. I did finish off... what did I finish off? That big, massive book. I've done with it. I've already forgotten all about it. It's...
The Iliad.
No, the other long one. Crap, why am I... legitimately, The Count of Monte Cristo. That's the one.
Oh,
sorry,
right.
I had
a
brain fart there. Yeah, finish it off. Great book. Would highly recommend if you like really long mid-18th century French literature. It's there's a lot going on. If you go to the Wikipedia page, there's literally like a character breakdown with like a character flow chart of how everyone relates to each other and how everyone winds up. So it's very spoilerific, but it is kind of fascinating. Like, wow, there's like 30 named characters and they all play off of each other. It's fascinating. Comic wise, haven't really had a chance to read too much, just kind of, you know, visually can't see right now, but we did finally move. So this entire like last week has been nothing but signing paperwork and hauling boxes. So yeah, I have a giant empty box laden office room right now. So that's convenient, or will be more convenient in like 2 months when I finally have time to line it up here.
Right. Yeah, moving is not conducive to hobbies. Like, it sucks up so much time.
Like, legitimately, yesterday I was, like, scrambling around because I only got my computer set up yesterday. I was like, okay, where's a power cord? I have my computer. I have everything else, but I just need, like, one more three-prong power cord to plug in my computer, actually. Like, where did it disappear to?
And some box somewhere.
It took me like 30 minutes to find all the cables, and no joke, it was a disaster. But thankfully, I had that disaster yesterday and not today. So
right.
That was forward thinking on my emotional crisis there.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad that you got it all set up.
Excellent. Let's see. We also have a little bit of news here. Oh, I did see this. So Marvel, there's a little up in the air about the High Republic. You know, they said it was going to go till issue 10, but they only like announced up to issue 8 here, but we didn't get confirmation.
The checklist, I think at the beginning, the checklist maybe even went to 10, but now the checklist in the back of the books has been saying 8, and even 10 feels small.
Yeah.
Kevin Scott tweeted out or posted on Substack or something that he was working on issue 9. So we know it's going at least that far. And I would assume 10.
Yeah, I think issue 9 said, like, part 1 of a new series there, like, the title.
It was chapter 5 of what, because we know the first arc, because unfortunately the first trade paperback only has 4 issues and the Revelation story. Mm-hmm. So then 6 would kind of make sense, but I'm really hoping it's more than just 10 issues.
Yeah.
But we at least know that much.
Who knows how long this phase 3 is going to last? Do we even know when the phase 3 will end?
I think spring 25 is kind of is when Trials of the Jedi, the book, comes out. So about a year from now, which means we should get it to at least 16 or 17 issues of the Marvel run.
That makes the most sense. So
yeah,
you know, it makes sense they do try to pad that out and end it at roughly the same time.
Hopefully.
Though, speaking of phase 3 and coming to an end, they also did have a Phil Noto specific villain art piece. And that one was really well done. If you haven't seen it yet, it kind of shows all the main villains of phase 3 from Martian Rowe, his girlfriend, the Staros, the center Staros, the Isaurian Mad Doctor, the nameless that's all cyborged up.
Boolean, I think.
Yes, Boolean.
Baron Boolean. It's something in that neighborhood.
Exactly. Like, whenever I hear that name, I always think of him as that little kid from Phase 2. So, no, it's a really well-done art. Can have a bit of a thirst trap with Martian not having a shirt on.
Yeah, I mean, every time someone draws Martian Rowe, it's just like, how much more daddy can they make him?
It definitely feels like every time we get, like, an official bit of artwork, he's wearing less clothes. Like, when we first saw him, he's fully helmeted up, completely, like, nothing on him. And now he's just, like, posing there. He still has the helmet on, because that stays on all the time, I guess, even, you know, during glamour shots here.
Yeah, and he's got, like a wool kind of half-coat thing going, which somehow is less clothes than not wearing it. It's just, yeah, he's hanging it all out. And then you've got General Vice, Niv Drindow, who is from the Junior book and has now made it into High Republic Adventures, and what's the little one's name?
Actually, I found it. Drigget Parse.
Drigget Parse, that's right. Also from that book. So I think this was our first look at Drigget Parse, although she was also in this most recent issue of Adventures. So it's kind of like, these are like the comics bad guys, at least so far. Which is cool. I mean, Phil Noto is one of the best to ever do it.
Oh, yeah.
All his concept art is killer. So if you haven't seen that, go check it out. But I think otherwise, pretty light on comics announcements this week.
Absolutely. I said we got, you know, we only had a couple issues coming out this week, but next week we got some real killer issues coming out. But we'll get on that in quite a little bit. For now, we have, as we said, at the top of the episode, Mace Windu issue number 2.
That's right. We talked about issue 1, I guess, roughly a month ago. But as a reminder, we've got Mark Bernardin writing it with art by Georges Ginty and Dexter Vines, colors from Andrew Dollhouse. Caleb, remind us what happened in this issue.
All right, so we pick up where we left off with Mace Windu having rescued Zeta Cruz from the mine security personnel who are attempting to capture her. The two of them begin to strike up a conversation while traversing the blue lava fields before being attacked by boar worms. After narrowly avoiding these worms with the force, Zeta reveals that Mace and her come from the same homeworld of Harun Kyle. But while the two are warming up to each other, they are being watched by two dusk weavers of the Haddle Path, an unknown cult with ill intentions. So it's kind of like the first one. It seemed a little light on like forward narrative, but when I went back and reread it again, there's a lot of dialogue in this one, a lot of like very interesting back and forth between these two characters here.
Yeah, it was very light. I mean, like, your recap there kind of tells the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. In like three sentences.
Yeah, is okay. But after, I thought the first issue was really good. And this, I mean, it's a sort of a classic second act of a story where like you got to now sort of fill in the gaps. But it was a really quick read that sort of slowed the pace down from the first book after it got off to such a strong start.
I think, yeah, but it is definitely, it felt like a little bit of a sophomore slump here. And, you know, while we're, you know, talking about this, when I was reading through it, like, the very first time, it seemed like the dialogue, like, I had to reread a bunch of those word bubbles, because it seemed like the dialogue to me just didn't make sense. Like, I wasn't, like, hearing the character voices, I think, as the author meant for me to hear them.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I always do when I'm reading Star Wars is like, I think of a specific line of dialogue from the movies so I can hear, you know, Samuel L. Jackson saying it. And then I try to read it sort of in that voice in my head. And mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, we know so little about Mace really from the movies that it's still hard for me to figure out what is going on. But this, it could have been anyone having this conversation. I felt like it didn't stand out like, oh, this is a Mace Windu story.
Yeah, and I don't know, the dialogue, I wouldn't say it was necessarily badly written, but it didn't feel like Star Wars characters. It felt like the way that the timbre was going back and forth, and like the references, and like the way that the sentence structure was being used. I don't know, it felt like it was something more modern, if that makes sense, like a real world modern, like maybe like the author has done a lot of Static Shock issues and things like that. So maybe that's where he's coming from, is a lot more like, you know, if you read a lot of like Twitter, or you're out literally, you know, hearing like people talk to one another, it's a little bit more in line with that. But, you know, when you put it in a comic medium, I don't know, it seemed like the dialogue seemed a little off.
Yeah, I could see that. And which, you know, is kind of a bummer because this was mostly dialogue. There was some good action, though. As the cover promises, we get a fight with a worm, which
two is, worms.
Yeah, which is all the rage right now.
I was about to say, you know, I haven't seen Dune 2 yet, but, you know, it's I will maybe by the time we do this next episode. I don't know.
Yeah. Bad Batch just last week, I know you're also not caught up on that, had a big worm episode. So worms are the bad guy of 2024. Of course, he makes quick work of the worms, but not in the way his new friend would have liked him to. He takes the Jedi path, and, you know, a Jedi would never harm another creature, right?
Yeah, like, he definitely, you know, there's a line of dialogue, let me see if I can get the specific one, but it's like, hey, listen, this lightsaber of mine, it's more like a shield. Like, a Jedi does not, you know, mindlessly, you know, he does not seek violence. He doesn't, end life whenever it's unnecessary, which was a really good and true Jedi statement. But at the end of last issue, he literally bisected three dudes in half.
Right. And like very, at like first sight.
At first sight, it's like, hey, put down your guns. Oh, okay. I'll just cut you all in half now. It was, I don't know. It felt like like maybe they there was like a difference in like it like I know when they're writing comics, it's not like they write one issue, put it down, and then next week or month come back and write the next issue. So like surely they're writing all this together. So maybe there's like a difference with what the artwork was going on here, but it, that point there seemed. Oh, there it is. Here it goes. Mace Windu very clearly says a Jedi doesn't kill because it's convenient.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's sort of like one of the inherent hypocrisies of the Jedi is that you so often, especially in the Clone Wars, they talk about not taking lives. It's like, okay, but you are a general of an army. You know that, right? Like, yeah, most of your opponents are robots, but like, that's what the lightsaber's for. It's to kill people. If you want it to be a shield, call Celandra Sho and she'll make you a light shield.
We literally have seen this before, a light shield there. So it was, it's interesting, but I guess like you could like, we can read deeply into this and try and, you know, put it this way. Like Mace Windu has always kind of been the epitome of Jedi hypocrisy, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think there are some people who will get mad if you say that, but it's also, I think that a lot of people agree with you. Mace seems to be really controversial in that regard.
Like, I'm not saying he's a bad Jedi, but I feel like he's like he's exemplary of why the Jedi failed in this time frame.
Like, yeah, I might say he's a bad Jedi. Like, he's a skilled Force user and good at a lot of things, but I think you're right. He's textbook, like, broken by dogma.
Exactly. Like, we kind of, like, again, we're reading very deeply into a lot of these things, but we're just talking about the High Republic, and we're seeing, like, I've mentioned this several times, and every time the High Republic comes up, is that we're seeing a much more, like, liberal, much more, like, feely, open to one another, like, touchiness, like, when it comes to, like, the Jedi in the High Republic phase. And we're going to, I'm assuming by the end of Phase 3, we'll see what will lead them down the path to, like, saying, you know, in 100 and 200 years, 250 years later, where they're like, hey, this Mace Windu guy who is super dogmatic, super, like, you know, by the book, super non-feeling, he's the guy we want, like, leading the council, essentially.
Right. And Yoda saw the whole thing happen, and he just, I guess he, you know, grew or digressed, depending on how you want to talk about it. But it, I think that's one of Mace's biggest uses as a character to tell stories is that hypocrisy. Now, I don't know if that's what the writer was going for here with that him saving the sandworms, or if he just thought that the worms were not a threat, which is also fair. But he quickly decided those guys last time were a threat. And here he was a lot more chill about it.
Exactly. So again, are we reading a lot into this? Absolutely. But we're a podcast about comics. Of course, we're going to read deeply into these sorts of issues here. Yeah, there was a lot of dialogue, of course, back and forth. And they did kind of talk about that. It's like, you know, that's one thing that Azita kind of brought up. You know, it's like, you weren't chosen. You didn't choose to become a Jedi. It was just a destiny that was essentially forced upon you. And I feel like that, you know, it's a kind of a fun dialogue between the two of them about, like, what it showed to survive. There was a kind of fun thing where the account brought up that they were from the same home planet there. And, you know, when I first was reading the issue, I saw, like, the Chinos, a little mark on him. I'm like, I sure hope they're not going to do the thing, like, you know, where we see oftentimes we're like, oh, and secretly, this is his sister.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was going that direction.
Definitely, same. Like, you know, we did, like, it seems like that's almost like a trope, is like, you know, we take an established character and in, like, a lesser known medium, like a comic, or like with Bosket with the face Favpov, is like, hey, they actually have a hidden twin sister that we never thought to mention before.
I mean, also literally the most famous reveal in Star Wars, that Darth Vader is secretly his dad. Luke and Leia are secretly sister and brother. So it's definitely not unheard of. And honestly, it could still go that way. I don't think it will. That would be a little surprising. But
or maybe not surprising, a little, like, I don't know, I feel like it'd be a little playing it too close to the chest there.
Right, which, no pun intended.
But no, it was, that's it. I do kind of like it, the this dichotomy of like, hey, we are both from the same location, but on very opposite spectrum, ends of the spectrum. You know, you're a high power force warrior who travels the galaxy and does cool stuff, and I'm been seated here is literally doing everything she can to survive.
Yeah, which, of course, something in Star Wars that happens a lot is the universe feels kind of small because people run into each other. So, sure, it's very unlikely that these two people from a trillion different planets end up together and they've both got this same homeworld, but that's, you know, maybe destiny. And so I assume that'll play into it some. I always like when Jedi find out something about their pre-Jedi life, because most of them, aside from, you know, people like Anakin and a few others, don't have any memory of before the Jedi.
Exactly.
So this could, I mean, I don't know what this is going to mean for Mace, if it's going to make him connect more with non-Jedi or see that, you know, maybe some of the ways he's thinking are wrong. Obviously, it's not going to change how he turns out because we know where that goes, but it could be interesting.
Absolutely. So, yeah, there were some interesting discussions that they had there. Like, you know, Azita, I still am not sure if I know much about her character. Like, she's definitely done some, like, she has spent, like, half the dialogue in this issue is from her perspective and her talking. But, you know, I'm still not sure, like, what her angle is. I guess she, it seems like she, all she wants to do is make a ton of money, but I'm not 100% certain, like I haven't seen enough of her character, like, acting, and then, like, to say that I trust her or I don't trust her, which is probably a good place for us to be at this point in the story.
Yeah, the whole thing about her calling all the different dealers and factions and whatever seems like it's not the full story. Like, yeah, she's like, oh, well, I wanted a bidding war or whatever, but I think it's more than that. I don't know what that could be, but there's definitely something going on with her.
Absolutely. And we got, and, you know, this issue that we talked about, it wasn't just those two characters talking and freezing their butts off in the blue lava fields. There's also, you know, I said, it ended with these two, like, dusk weavers that they had a little path. I had to quickly Google that to make sure, hey, this hasn't shown up anywhere else. Nowhere else has this been mentioned yet, so, you know, they kind of have, like, this fun, like, Mad Max character design with, like, the painted face and, like, the,
Yeah, she does look like Furiosa there.
You know, shaven heads and all like that. You know, they definitely don't seem like good dudes at all. They definitely seem like they're more like extreme Luddites. Like, a couple of their dialogue choices make us think, you know, oh, they probably want to, like, blow up all sorts of, like, advanced technology.
Yeah, it was such a frustrating way to end the issue, because it's like, this was where it was starting to get going. Like, I wish this had happened like 10 pages in, not 20 pages in. Because now we're talking. Now there's some conflict. There's some mystery. We've got, you know, a character or a faction or something called the Shroud. That's all really intriguing, which is, you know, makes for a good cliffhanger. But also, like, I'm more interested in the next issue than I am in the one I'm currently reading.
Exactly. And part of me when I'm reading this is like, okay, are these two going to be, like, primary antagonists moving forward? Will they kind of be, like, the culmination of this whole issue? Or are they going to be killed off in the next, you know, five pages to kind of further the plot along as, like, another, like, enemy du jour sort of thing, like, just like the boar worms?
Yeah, I have a feeling that they're going to clash and then find out either they've got a similar goal in mind or they're not, you know, there's going to be some misunderstanding. Then maybe they'll find out there's another real bad guy. Because, of course, we also see some friends of Jabba the Hutt.
Yes.
For a criminally short amount of page space.
Hold on. What sort of joke did you just say?
Criminally short? I realized as I was saying it. We get an Anzalan, which I don't know that they've ever appeared outside Rise of Skywalker and The Mandalorian.
There's an Anzalan captain of the Halcyon Legacy in the early comics.
Okay.
And Yeah, there's a bunch of them in Midnight Horizon.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, okay. So we've seen a few end zones. This is this is the earliest timeline we've seen one, I think. But regardless, I mean, I know Rise of Skywalker was polarizing. I think everyone kind of agrees Babu Frick was pretty great.
But he freaking ruled.
Yeah, so now we've got Yaya.
Yaya Shram.
Yeah, I kind of like to imagine he's just named that because he says yeah, yeah a lot. Because Babu Frick, you know, always says like, hey, hey. And this guy maybe says yeah, yeah, which is also a character from The Sandlot for all you 90s kids. Was one of the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because that's what he says. But we don't know like what these guys are up to. We've got Yaya and Kuthis, or I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah. Yeah, Kuthis, who appears to be, Bib Fortuna's, protege, his predecessor here, I guess.
Oh, yeah, he could be, like, the majordomo here. Although, I guess we do see Bib in Phantom Menace. We're in the Clone Wars, right?
No. This is well before the Clone Wars.
Oh, okay.
This is even before Phantom Menace. Like, we don't know where this is in the time run. Like,
yeah, I couldn't remember.
I don't even know if he's even Master Windu. He might just be Jedi Knight here.
You could be right. Maybe this predates Bib Fortuna, but either way, he's got this cool... Oh,
yeah, it specifically says in the opening, like, intro here, before joining the Jedi Council, one Jedi travels the galaxy on a daring mission.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, this is probably at least a few years before Phantom Menace. Yeah, maybe this is a different majordomo, and we'll see this adventure, we'll see him killed off so Bib can take his place. But regardless, like... This was another thing where, like, it cut to Tatooine. I know, kind of eye roll, Tatooine, we're back. But, Jabba's cool. And these are new characters, which is fun. Cool designs here. But then we only see them for a page, and then they dip out. So I have a feeling that, like, the Jabba side of things is going to end up being the antagonist, so to speak. And then maybe they'll team up with these Dreamweavers or whatever they're called. To take down the syndicate. I don't know, something like that.
Maybe, but remember, we're now at the halfway point. We only get two more issues of this.
Oh, it's only four. I keep forgetting that it's not five.
I know. It's like, okay, we did a really good like character deep dive here, but like, I have no idea if in these next two issues they'll be able to leave the ice planet here and move somewhere else, like to Tatooine, or is that the rest of the series going to take place on this location here?
Yeah, I feel like knowing that we're halfway done, I feel like the next two really need to pick up the pace. Because this one, like, when you think about it, what really happened in this issue was not much. We got introduced to these two sets of new characters, and she and Mace kind of walked a little bit further into the cave. Like, we didn't move forward a lot.
They talked a lot of philosophy.
You're right. There was definitely some good sort of what it means to be a Jedi and why are you doing what you're doing. But we've got a lot to do in these last two issues. We've got to figure out these two factions. We've got to talk about their home world, which will naturally come up. I don't know. I'm excited to see where it goes, though. Like I said, the tease for these other sets of characters is really cool.
Yeah, like they definitely haven't like shaken me off. Like I'm not going to like, there have been some like flaws I think I've seen in this one, but it's definitely not enough for me to say, well, it's not worth your time, or this is obviously going in the wrong direction. Again, the sophomore outing, it especially with television shows and movies and books and things like that, like the second thing they have to be like, okay, we got your attention now, please follow along as I do all the setup for the next couple of issues here.
Yeah, one thing I want to say, like on the positive side, not that I disliked the writing, it just didn't blow me away. I love the art and design of this book. We talked last month about how it kind of feels like an old Dark Horse book, and I think that's really still true here. Georges Dinty's art is fantastic, but also things like the sound effects, the way they do that, it is all sort of old school. Like if you read other recent Marvel comics, the lettering's typically not like this. Like, obviously, their dialogue font is the classic Marvel font. But all the sound effects are done in a sort of 2000s kind of way.
You get really dramatic kabooms and roars and things like that. They're really, like, you notice them here, and I feel like that's the point. It's like they don't just fade into the background. Like, the sound effects are important to the action here.
Yeah, and then this Yaya and Kuthis, these two characters, are kind of campy in their design, which a lot of modern Star Wars, and I think sci-fi in general, kind of doesn't always do. Like, they used to, you know, it used to be sort of very Flash Gordon inspired and over-the-top costumes, which I feel like this look, like, if you told me that this character was out of some 90s, like Star Wars Rebellion, which I don't know when Rebellion came out, but a book like that, I would totally believe it. I love the look of it, and it feels just great. And maybe this will be a thing where when you read all four issues together, you don't even notice that this one slows down a bit. But right now, I think the art is really carrying it.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, again, great time through and through. So we did have a couple other comics released this week. We got Vader 44 and the High Republic number 4.
High Republic Adventures number 4.
Yes, High Republic Adventures.
Great naming conventions, guys. Not at all confusing.
Exactly. And we got a bunch of fours here, too. You know, did you have a chance to get in on any of these ones?
I have not read Vader yet. I flipped through it just to, like, kind of get a vibe for what's going on, which is obviously not a way I recommend reading, but I was like, crap, we're going to have to talk about this. Vader is one that, like, I often forget what happens month to month, and I have to, like, go back and reread the previous issue to kind of get caught up on, especially because this storyline is sort of weird. Lot of the 2020 run has been weird.
Like, the last couple, like, it's kind of weird that I can, like, look back, and it feels like the last, like, 12 issues of Vader have kind of all bled together, but also are its own distinct thing, so it's hard to kind of keep that in track. So, and yeah, I'm with you. Sometimes I feel like I put Vader on the back burner because we're just not like we haven't talked about it yet on the show yet. So it's like, oh, I don't have to read that. And when I do come back to it, I'm like, oh, I feel like I've missed a bunch of options here.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of Vader fighting, like infighting in the Empire, which is cool to see. But I think I'm close to done with Vader. Like,
there's a lot of Vader, like, content.
5 year break from Vader stories. Like, have him be the bad guy in some stuff, maybe. Like, I really hope he shows up in the Bad Batch, just like as a cameo this season. I feel like we're just kind of running out of ways to keep me interested with Vader. That said, I know people love him. People are digging this run, so that's great. I haven't read this issue, so I can't comment on it. I failed to do my homework. Did you read it?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I was about to say, like, yeah, I'm not going to throw you under a bus. I can't, you know, that bus would run me over, too. I haven't had a chance to. I remember, I've been moving, though, so I have a really good excuse.
Yeah, that's right. I took a nap this afternoon after finishing our next book, High Republic Adventures number 4, which I did read. Did you read it?
No, not yet.
All right, I will throw you squarely under that bus, and I'll just go. And I have been a fan of DJO's Adventures books since a few issues into the Phase 1 run, when I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And we're firing on all cylinders here. We get Lulu and Zine are reuniting. I'll avoid too many spoilers, because if Caleb hasn't read it, I assume some listeners haven't either. But if you like random characters' cameos the way that Jacob and I do, you're going to love this, because we've got some of the Adventures crew, but also characters like Adi Sanzi, who you may or probably don't know from the Tales from the Galaxy's Edge VR game. She's made a cameo before, but she is fully in this issue. This is good stuff. It's just a fun, you know, Jedi are fighting the Nile. They're starting a prison break. We're starting to get the whole Adventures crew back together. We get some Nameless. Yeah, there's just there's a lot of good stuff. Check it out if you're a High Republic fan. We even get a nice little I Am Spartacus type scene that is just like, in any setting will get me hype. If anytime, like, everyone stands up and is like, no, I'm the bad guy. No, I'm like, hell yeah, let's do this. So check out High Republic Adventures number 4. I feel like a lot of people sleep on the junior reader stuff, which I get, but also you're missing out.
Excellent. I will definitely be checking that out, I think, once this once we are done recording here. You know, and we would love to talk about that more, but this next week that we have coming up, we got some real interesting ones dropping here. We got
March 20th is busy.
Yeah, we got the High Republic number 5. Cool, cool. More on that story. Thrawn Alliance is number 3. So, again, a continuation of that one
is here. Is this going to be the issue? Are we getting them?
The Grisk? Crossing
fingers for the Grisk.
Like, watch them. Once we get them, they're going to be look just like the Yuuzhan Vong, and somebody is going to be so vindicated.
Yeah. And whatever they do, it's going to be divisive. Now, I know. I feel like these adaptation books aren't as widely read as some other comics, so it might take some time to spread, but this could be the big one, or maybe somehow they'll go 4 issues without doing it. I don't know, but we've got 2 issues left of that series, so come on, guys.
You know, exactly. Now, we also have 2 brand new ones starting off here. We have Jango Fett number 1 as well. That one, you know, we saw the preview for that in Revelations. I did actually see they have this first 7 pages out, and it looks good, you know, kind of like Mace Windu here. It's starting off with like an opening gambit that probably doesn't tie into the rest of the story. Looks good. I mean, I don't know exactly what even the main story of this Jango Fett is going to be, but they got him dual-wielding blasters and dropping thermal detonators, so
yeah, we got good going on. Like, what's not to like?
You know, maybe unlike the Bounty Hunter series that just ended, you know, Jango Fett will actually do some real bounty hunting and get paid.
Hey, yeah, maybe. We've got the next Star Wars Visions one-shot from Takashi Okazaki, who, if I'm remembering right, I could have just looked this up, obviously, but he did the first Visions one-shot like a couple years ago, right?
I believe so. Let me pull that up.
Yeah, I should have just Googled that. Yes. Or at least he worked on the episode itself, the duel. And so he's now, this will be his second one shot that I assume is taking place in that same world, at least as the comic. There's also a preview for that. I think this is going to be great. I mean, Vision stuff is cool. Peaches was great. It's not canon, so it doesn't have to stick to anyone's storyline. If that's a thing that you need, then you're going to be probably skipping this one, but it's super fun that they're doing these kind of more experimental things.
Absolutely. And I know you and your team and the rest of your team over there in the timelines love this Oz, because you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, exactly. There's no timeline worries at all. It's just him doing his own thing.
Exactly. So which one of these 4 we'll be talking about next week, I can't guarantee, but we'll get up to, you know, work with Jacob here and figure out which one of these, gets us the most jazzed and excited to talk about Star Wars comics. But, you know, for that, you know, you'll have to wait until next week, because that will do it for today's episode of The Cosmic Force. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the show right here on, well, not necessarily on YouTube, but you can watch us every Wednesday and listen to us every Wednesday for your favorite podcasting apps. We also, we encourage you to subscribe and follow us along at the Twitter and tweet at the show at Cosmic Force to stay informed about Star Wars comics and other happenings. For reviews, articles, and other news for the wide world of Star Wars and other fandoms coming soon, be sure to visit utini.com. Again, we encourage you to join the community by going to utini.com/discord and patreon.com/utini, you know, where you can receive many wonderful benefits, including at higher levels, shout outs, including to our very special, utini'd and various members of the Patreon. Special thank you to Brian Dooley, Carl Sander, Michael Fry, and Raymond Basinski on our High Council, and the captains James T., Ashley Ingalls, Colton Fife, Chris Carrizo, and Sally and Chris Eilerstein for your amazing support. Now head over to Discord for the continued comics coverage. Huge shout out to our editor Kyle for his excellent work in getting us to your feeds so quickly, and Wes at the Utini Network support. To our fantastic listeners, thank you again so much. That's it for us. Keep exploring, keep sharing, and let's have a great time together. And as always, may the Force be with you.